morning. We were discussing a case the past few weeks that a gentleman bought a car. When he bought the car, the check engine light was on. He brought it to a mechanic who told him it was the oxygen sensor needed to be replaced. So he went back to the seller, negotiated a price, bought the car. And then after he had the oxygen sensor replaced, 2 days later the check engine light went right back on. And at that point he discovered that it needed a new catalytic converter. It seems that when you check engine light is on and you run it through a computer check, if the oxygen sensor doesn't work and it stops checking, it doesn't look for anything else. The buyer wanted a refund. The seller played hardball. He said, listen, before you bought the car, you had it checked, and clearly the oxygen sensor didn't work. But you bought the car. You drove it around for a week or two before you bothered getting it fixed. The mechanic went ahead and did whatever he was doing, played around with the engine with the computer. And how do I know that this defect was here when you bought it? Maybe the defect happened later. So we discussed last week that normally the rule is if there's a suffix, if we don't know when the defect happened. Now obviously if a mechanic will tell you that this thing doesn't happen overnight, it takes a few weeks for it to fail, that would be the metzius. So then obviously it's a mekach tois. But if there's a suffix, if it's not clear when the defect happened, normally what's the rule? Hamoitzi mechadeo avaraya. If the buyer had already paid, he has the burden of proof to prove that it was defective when he bought it. And in the other case, if he had not paid yet, so there, if the seller wants his money, he should have to prove that when he sold it, was free of this defect, and he's entitled to get paid. Now, what we discussed last week is that there's a concept there's a klal of kan nimsa kan hayu. It's a general rule is that if something that has a cheskas aguf, we know this car, when it was manufactured, when it came from the factory, it worked. The oxygen sensor worked, the catalytic converter worked, the engine light wasn't on, the car was in good, it was in perfect condition. We now have a suffix. At some point, that changed. Because today, the catalytic converter doesn't work. So the rule is, if we discover the defect when it's in the buyer's possession, it's in his rishus, the rule is we say, kan nimso kan hoyo. If we discover the defect here, we presume it happened here. And we have no right to assume that it was defective when the seller had it. And therefore, in the absence of any proof, whoever has possession of it, whoever's rishus it's in, we're going to assume the defect happened here. And therefore, the halacha is, even if the buyer did not yet pay, he's the muchzik, he hasn't paid for the car, and even though nobody knows when the defect occurred, Kanyin Sekanhayu will tell you that if it was discovered in the buyer's possession, then we assume it happened here, and he's going to, and we can force him to pay. We do not say Moitz Mechel Varaya, the Cheses HaGuf overrides, and he will have to pay for the car, even though he doesn't know when the defect occurred. That's true, but the check engine light, the oxygen sensor was broken. And therefore, that itself would explain the check engine light. Now, we have no idea whether the light was on for one reason or for two reasons. Nobody knows. So on that, we have a cheses aguf. No. The oxygen sensor was broken. That no one's disputing. And that came out of the computer. The question is, were there two things broken or just one thing? No one has any way of figuring that out. And
The warning
proved, again, let's say there was no check engine light at all. It was disabled.
Right.
So now we discover there's a problem, we say kan yitzu kan hoyu. Now, if the oxygen sensor doesn't work, then the check engine light is meaningless. Because no, it's going to be on because of the sensor. So it's the equivalent of not having a light. So if you don't have a light and we discover a new defect today, there'll be kan yitzu kan hoyu. Now if you're going to tell me there's some sort of chazaka, that if it doesn't, these things don't break so fast, and therefore if it broke today, it was almost broken at the time of sale, good. If you can prove that, then that would be grounds to claim mekach tois. But if these things can happen overnight, and for argument, especially if when the mechanic's fixing one part, he can break the other, which I don't know where the two parts are. I don't know whether it does make sense. It doesn't make sense. But then we have a chazaka, and we have a rule of kanim zekanoyu. So the cab would have, even if he did not yet pay for the car, he would have to pay in full. Now this,
usually in this case, it's a very, very common occurrence. And in most cases, they will, right away, it'll show that the accident just ends in the, but it could very well be the catalytic converter. I see it all the time.
Okay.
The first thing they do is they change the oxygen, and then it still doesn't, it comes back on 2 days later.
The oxygen, the sensor was fine. It's just a mistake in the computer. Okay, listen.
But
if the Metzias is wrong, then the Metzias is wrong. We're just conceptually, as far as the halacha, the rule is kan mitzvah kan hoya, and unless you can prove the defect was there earlier, not only are you is you be mechuyev to pay for it, even if the buyer is still a mufsik at this point. Now, because this is the rationale, there are some interesting nafkaminas. I mean, there's one, your classic case: a person goes to a grocery and buys a container of milk. Come home, and the next day they take it out of the refrigerator and they notice it's past the expiration date, and lo and behold, it smells. They go back to the seller. The seller says, "Listen, convince a kanhaya. Can you prove that it was spoiled yesterday when you bought it?" "No." "So I don't have to pay you." So over here, the Sma says, and I think what everyone would presume to be true, they're nothing doing. Kanimsa kanhoya is, there was a cheskes haguf. The car, when it was made, worked. Something, at some point, it broke. We don't know when. So we assume the cheskes haguf, we assume it was working until the defect was discovered. Masha'enken, you have old milk, or in the Sma's case, it was old cheese. There's no chazaka telling you that it's not spoiled. It's not possible to say we can make a presumption it's good. Milk spoils as it ages, and especially if it's past the expiration date, there's clearly no chazaka. So in such cases, the lekeach would win. The klal kamitzu kanhoyo will not apply. Now, because when milk ages, it's past the expiration date, there's no chazaka. A car, we're not dealing with a 90-year-old car where there's a chazaka that everything that doesn't work. Again, every animal eventually, everyone eventually dies. But a Chesed HaGuf still says that unless you have a race, unless you have reason to believe otherwise, you assume that it's alive. Now, maybe when a person is over 80 or something, that we can now attack the chazaka. But under normal circumstances, even though he will eventually die, it still has a Chesed HaGuf. Okay, if it gets to a point where its catalytic converter no longer has a Chesed HaGuf, well, we can clear about it. But in a typical case, it will have a Chesed HaGuf, and unless you have a raya otherwise, we'll assume it's fine.
Is the Torah needed a mitzvah that's chaser, you say, goes ma'at ma'at, or by the going, you say,
it could, so those sugyas all deal with chazakos. This is part of that whole sugya. It's
so in a case of something which is happening, like the mitzvah, which is little, so then you say, it didn't just happen ma'at ma'at, it happened whereas...
Again, you'll have to deal with each case. In many parts, they're fine, and at some point they fail. If a uman will tell you that's not the way it works, and if it broke today, that means last week it was breathing its last, then it'll be mekach tois, not because it was broken, but because it was about to break. But each case, you'll have to look at each case. Now, based on this halacha, there's another case that the Avodah Sagashuni deals with. A person bought a crate full of cameras. There were 100 of them. The buyer didn't have room in his warehouse. The seller said, "I'm going to hold it for you for 2 weeks." After 2 weeks, the seller needed to clear out his space. The buyer hired some workers to bring it to another area. Finally, when the buyer gets around to checking it out, he opened it up and he sees that there are only 95 cameras. So, tells the seller, "I paid for 100. You're only giving me 95. So I want a refund." Or in that case, he was actually a mufzik on the money. "I'm only paying you for the 95 that I got." The seller said, "There were originally 100. If there are only 95 now, probably it got stolen once it was already in your warehouse. And since this issue was only discovered today, kanyan sakan hoya, you should suffer the loss." And this, Abayi Zagashuni says, nothing doing. Because if you have an animal, there's a cheskes haguf. We know it was alive and healthy yesterday. Today, it's a treifa. So we want to know when it became a treifa. We say kanyan sakan hoya, it became a treifa when it was in the buyer's possession. In the case of the cameras, well, there's no chazaka that a box has 100 cameras. There's no chazaka, there's no cheskes haguf. The seller is saying there were 100 in this box. The buyer can say, mechatesa. Who says they were ever there? And therefore, there's no cheskas hagof, there's no chazak over here, and the avodas hagashuni paskins, in this case, the buyer would prevail, and the buyer would not have to pay for it. It's only when you're dealing with, you buy an item, which everyone knows yesterday was in perfect condition, or a year ago was in perfect condition, now our question is when it changed, there's a cheskas hagof. But if it's a question of how many were in a box, and when did it get stolen, there will be no cheskas hagof, and the buyer would prevail. The seller is saying that, but we don't have to trust him. The buyer was a mochzik, and the buyer can say, how do I know what you're saying is true? All I know is, when I counted, there were 95. So if you can establish that it was delivered to me, it was 100, then of course I have to pay. It was stolen from my rishus. But if that's a suffix, and we have no way of knowing, then you won't have to pay. Now, there is, the Shev Yaakov does bring out, it's Chemni al Pinkasa, it could be there's a Shvuah here, there are other Cheshbonos why the buyer may end up getting stuck since the seller followed the instructions and it wasn't the seller's fault, but that's, it's a separate sugya of Shvuah, we're not going to go into that. But as far as the concept of Mechach Tois and the concept of Kanim Tekan Hoyo, it will not apply since there is a Cheskos Hagof.
Like,
no Cheskos Hagof.
2 months ago, they were aiding the store under the box, held it 2 months, then... So it could happen before or after.
Fine. So that's a shaila whether the concept of Cheses HaGuf will apply to something being stolen. The Tzais is unsure. The Nesivus and the Avodas HaGashuni both seem to say, in that case, if we know it was 100, then there would be a Kanim Sekan Hoya. But it's not. The Tzais is specific about it. Now, let's move on to the next issue that came up with this case. The person that bought the car. For argument's sake, let's assume he can prove that there was the catalytic converter was broken and he's entitled to Mechach Tois. The problem is, let's just presume for this that it was Mechach Tois, he's entitled to a refund. The problem is, what did he do after he bought the car? He fixed the oxygen sensor. So now the seller is going to take back the car. The car is in perfect condition. Does he have to pay the buyer for the money that he spent? So here the halacha is, we had it this morning in Reish Lamed Beis, in Sif Yudalid. The halacha is that if the buyer improves the item, he has a din of a yoyrid, and he's entitled to be compensated for the shvach, for the improvement that he did. And therefore in this case, since this is a pretty clear case, the sensor needed to be fixed, the person paid for it, he fixed it, he would be entitled to be reimbursed for his cost. Now what would get interesting is, if this buyer got ripped off, he went to a very expensive body shop, he went to the dealer, and he paid a lot more than a typical person would pay for this repair, he's going to lose that amount of money. Because he's getting paid as a yoyrid, he's getting paid because he improved the item. He can only be compensated for the amount that he actually improved it. If this is supposed to be a $500 repair, the fact that he spends $700 does not benefit the seller. And by the same token, if he decided he wants to go ahead, he didn't like the hubcaps, he wants to put in different hubcaps, a better speaker, whatever he wants to do, he changes, he invests money in this car in a way that doesn't create value. It's his personal preference. Then he will not be compensated as a yoyrid. In general, it depends whether it's asuy lita or ain asuy lita. It's usually normal yoyrid gets paid the lesser of the two. But again, here it's a yoyrid b'rishus. You'll have to figure out whether it's asuy lita or not asuy lita. You know, we're gonna have to discuss these when we go through hilchos yoyrid.
Are we looking at the actual practical shabbat of the item, or are we looking how much more the seller can get for a gallon of salt?
It's usually going that those numbers are usually going to be the same. The shvach is how much it went up in value because of this improvement.
Not as a simple example would be, let's say the tires were okay, and you can sell a car without having to deduct for it. They weren't bold, but they were okay. Let's say they had 30-40% left. The guy bought it, and he said, you know what, I want to have good tires. He goes and spends $600 to get four beautiful tires out of it. The money is not going to end up getting any more money for it if he sells.
No, but I'm not so sure there's a shvach there. There's no shvach. There's no benefit. If he decides he doesn't like the color, he wants to get the car repainted, there's no shvach. Now, there's a separate issue that perhaps you can go after the seller as a mazik. I went ahead and invested this money because I thought I was getting a car. Meanwhile, you had ripped me off and it's a Mekach Tois, so perhaps you're a Mazik. But, again, we'll deal with Mazik in a future shiur, especially in a case where the seller did not know about the defect, he's not going to have to pay as a Mazik. If he knew about it, he knew he was doing you in, he knew you were going to return it, then the Mechaber is Machmir, at least in some cases. But in a case where he acted in good faith, it was a Shoigig, he had no way of knowing there was anything wrong with the catalytic converter, he was convinced it was the oxygen sensor. In such a case, he would not be able to Mechaber Malz Mazik, and he would only get paid if it was a Yoyrid, if there were real improvements. So that goes into the question of Amum the Efshel Lesakne, which was discussed 2 weeks ago. If there's a significant defect, then the halacha is it's Mekach Tois, he cannot just give a refund. If it's a minor defect, which with a couple of dollars you can just fix it and get it back to new, then he would have such a right. And that would probably apply to this case, but that's something we discussed 2 weeks ago. The Mazik is like this. I bought a car. I put in $1,000 to this car because of your representation that you were selling me a good car and I'm going to keep it. Now it turns out that you were lying to me. It was a lemon. And I'm stuck. I invested the money already and I'm giving the car back to you. So that hefsid, I can claim it that you were a Mazik. That's a good question. In some cases it will be. But the Mechaber Paskins by Zareini Gine, if I sell you seeds and I know they're defective and you plant them, then the seller is responsible for the cost. Now it's a question whether it's a Knas, it's a question whether it's a Garmi. We're going to push that aside for later, but in the very least, in a case where the seller did not know that it was defective, there everyone would agree it is not a Garmi and you would not be able to bill him as a Mazik.
You said anybody is
going to pay for the Shvach, you're getting paid as a Yoyrid. What about the amount above the Shvach? I went ahead and I painted it. I started to paint it a different color. And you knew I was going to paint it a different color. So if you sell me defective goods, I can claim Mazik. So I'm there. If the seller did not know, it's clearly not a Mazik. If he did know, we'll have to deal with that later in the Sugav Zarei Negin.
What about the code of auction? There's something like, I had this case, a light was on. The guy said, oh, it's just the light thing. And the guy said, oh, yeah, buy it. That's what it is. And then...
Who told you? The person running the auction?
No, the person.
So again, the sugya of Mekach Tois is between you and the seller. If the seller tells you, don't worry, it's a minor repair, and it turns out it's a major repair, that's clearly a Mekach Tois. Now you're dealing with a separate question. Between you and the auction's a guy, you're stuck with a car. You now have a claim against this mechanic or your friend that gave you the advice, said buy it, there's nothing wrong with it, and he's wrong. So that's a separate sugya. That's a question of Mari Dinu L'Shulchani. That's a question of Mazik. Can you sue him for causing you the damage or telling you to buy a car that was a lemon? That's not the sugya of Mekach Tois. That's the sugya of Mazik Dinu L'Shulchani, and that we're going to have to deflect for another time.
Why wouldn't you pay just for what he expense this time? So
again, in Hilchus Yoyrid, there's Yoyrid Shleibishos by Enasuli to the Shvach, the Hoytzo. There are a bunch of different Gedarim, but I can't go through all the cases of how a Yoyrid gets paid and how it applies to this case. Now, just one other, the next step, the next issue that came up with this Din Torah is the seller knew a little bit about Halach. And he said, okay, so let's assume it's a Mekach Tois. There's a problem with it, I have to give it back to you. And let's put aside the issues, how much I have to pay you for your improvements. He was willing to pay. The person had gotten a good price. He was ready to pay that. The bottom line is, he says, you had my car for a month. You used the car. I want you to pay me what it would have cost you to rent a car for a month. Now, whatever that is, that's a lot more than it costs to fix a catalytic converter. And therefore, he's telling the person, listen, if you take your choice, either you eat the loss, or I'll take the car back and you pay me rent. Now, this l'chayr is in Mefurash Halacha. It comes from the Rambam, it's in Siman Tezvav. Hamoicha karka l'chadera, if you sell someone a piece of property, v'ocho peiroseha, the buyer is a farmer, he farms the land, he eats the fruits. U'la'achers man niru loy b'mum, 10 years down the road, he discovers there's a defect. If he wants to return the karka, if he wants to undo the deal, the halacha is machzer kol ha'peresh o'ocha. He has to return all the fruits that he harvested over the past 10 years, everything he got from this property. If you were the same story, but you bought a house, you lived in the house for 10 years, then you notice the defect. The halacha is, you can give back the house, but you've got to pay the rent, back rent, for the past 10 years that you lived in this house. Now this halacha sort of puts a damper on many claims of mekachtois, because it means if time went by and you lived in the house, you have to pay all the benefit that you had. Now there's a machlokes why this is so. Lavush and the Bach and the Meribina seems to follow this, say that this is a problem of ribbis. You bought the house, or you thought you bought the house. You paid the fellow $300,000. Now 10 years later, what do we discover? We discover that this house had a mum, and it's a nekach tois. What does that mean? That means that the sale, this kinyan, was a tois. It was void. So we know now that the house was never mine, and we know now also that the money that I gave the seller was nothing more than a loan. Therefore, Zakta Lavush, if I lent money to the seller for these 10 years, and he lets me live in his house rent-free, he lets me take all the fruits that this field produced, and he lets me keep it, I don't have to pay him for anything. That's what it is. And therefore, the Lavush says, that's why you have to give back the fruits, that's why you have to pay for the usage, because otherwise you have a problem of ribs. Yes, so the Sma makes 2 points. He says, first of all, what if you bought it on credit? If you didn't pay for the goods for the house yet, there's no problem. There's no loan, there can't be any ribbis. And the Sma's second point is, he says it would be ribbis d'rabbanan, and ribbis d'rabbanan, even the ribbis d'rabbanan is also, you can't force him to pay after it's already been received. And therefore the Sma says, if the problem was ribbis, you can't force the person to return it once he already took the papers. So what does the Sma learn? The Sma says it has nothing to do with ribbis. Today, you bought this house 10 years ago. Today we realize that the house, the sale is not a good sale, the kinyan was a toyus, the house belongs to the seller. What's the halacha? Someone comes over to you and says, listen, I see you just moved to Muncie, you're looking for a place to live. I happen to own a house, I have a vacant house down the block, here are the keys, move right in. Person moves in, lives there for a couple of years, and one day there's a knock on the door, someone introduces himself, he says, I want you to know this is my house. I don't know who gave you permission or who gave you the keys to the house, but it's mine. I want you to pay me rent for the usage. So what's the halacha? The halacha is, if this house belongs to this other person, you lived in it, you were nana from the house, there was a chisaron, this landlord was unable to rent it out to someone else because you lived there. The rule is, by yizeh nana, v'zeh chaser, if you had benefited from it, and the landlord lost out, you have to pay for your use.
Where was he from?
Okay, good. So Zakta Sma, in this case, forget about ribbis. The bottom line is, this house belonged to the seller? Yes. You lived in this house, you benefited from it, and you had the use of it for 10 years? You have to pay for that use. Not because of ribbis, not because of get, simply because you had hana from the other person's item. Now this is the pshat. It'll come out. We have to look at each case. If you move into someone's house, there are two criteria we have to look at. If the landlord was someone who, had you not moved in, he would have rented it to the next person. So then by you moving in, you're causing him a loss. He can't rent it out to two people. And if the second condition is, if you needed a place to live, so now someone gave you a free house, great. But otherwise, you would have been forced to rent a different house. So that's a case of a zeh nen of a zeh chaser, and that case is very clear in halacha, you would have to pay. The problems begin is, what happens if we don't have one of those two factors? What happens if the landlord, he's not going to rent out the house anyway? This is a summer house, he's had it for the past 10 years, he had no intention of renting it out. You moved in during the winter, so did you cause him a loss? No, he wasn't going to rent the house out anyway. So in such a case, it would come out according to the Sma, you don't have to pay. You haven't caused him a loss. You haven't denied him, because he would not have rented this out anyway. Now based on this, it would come out, if you bought the car from someone, if this person is a dealer, And besides selling cars, used cars, he also rents out. He had one of these rent-a-wrecks. He rents out used cars. So then the fact that you used it caused him some sort of loss. It may have been self-inflicted. That's the Nesivus makes that point. But the bottom line is, had you not taken this car, he would have rented it out. You have to pay for your usage. However, in this case, where the seller was a private person, if he wouldn't have sold the car, he would have just left it on the market. He wasn't renting it out. He didn't have any other clients that were in. He didn't have a license. He didn't have insurance. He wasn't renting the car to anybody else. So in that case, at most, a zenen of a zeloi chaser, and you would not be able to charge him rent.
Even in the case where he did do that, instead of lying on, it's already a special thing.
That's very true. No, it's even in a case where it was a zenen of a zeloi chaser, this person rents out cars. So what is the value of leasing a car with a check engine light on? I don't know, but it's certainly not the amount that you pay when you go into a regular leasing agency. So it's certainly, to pay the full value, certainly there's no havamina. It'll be a question of, do I have to pay that lesser amount, or is it a case of either zenen or zenen of a zeloi chaser?
Even in the case of zenen of a zeloi chaser, can the kind of taina, listen, I wouldn't have gone and rented another car.
Fine. So that's...
I bought a car from someone else.
Fine. So that there you would have to clarify whether it's called a zen nana. We were just discussing on the chaser part. Is it a chaser or is it a loy chaser? Was he going to rent it out or not? There's a separate issue of, is he a nana? This is a second car, and if he wouldn't have bought this car, he just would have made do with one car until he found another one. Then it's a loy nana. Good. So that if he wasn't going to rent a car, then it would be a zeh loy nana, and then zeh loy nana v'zeh loy chaser is certainly pater. Zeh loy nana v'zeh chaser, there is not so clear. The nesivus in this case says you'd be chayiv. It's a chiddush, you know. Again, lav dafka. I don't know that everyone would agree to it, but in this case, the nesivus says you'd be chayiv.
Are you
saying you're going to lose another car? So it's like this. There's the Ar Gadol on the Shayas in the fourth paragraph of Metziah makes this difference between Karka and Metalkalin. However, the Ar Sameach, the Shilte Giboyrim, and the Rashbash all clearly apply this to Metalkalin as well. According to the Sma, would come out, it's not a question of Karka or Metalkalin, it's a question of, is it something which is Oymid Lisko or not. Now, in a practical sense, a car is not a good example, but when you buy a suit, most Metalkalin that you buy is not Oymid Lisko. If you buy a suit from a suit store and it's defective, the suit store generally doesn't rent out defective suits on the side. So it'll be a case of a zeloi chaser. So the only real cases where you'll have it, where had you not taken it, the owner would have rented out, are usually by karka and possibly by a car. That's true. Putting aside zenen and zeloi chaser, you're also a mazik. However, by mazik, that's in halacha in Sif Yud Gimel, that if you buy an item and you mazik it, you damage it, and then you see it's defective and you want to bring it back, so halacha is, it depends on the type of defect that you caused. If it's a defect that's expected, you bought material. Why do you buy material? To make something out of it. So you cut it up to make whatever you're going to make, and then you discover the defect. There, the halacha is you bring back whatever pieces you have, and you're entitled to a full refund. Because it's not called a mazik. The seller knew what you were going to do, and you're not liable for that. Masha Ein Kein, if you buy a car, and you're a bit strange, you take the car, the first thing you do is you smash it into a wall. You're mazik it. And then you notice there's a defect that didn't come from the crash. So in that case, you're entitled to your money back because it's a mekal tois, but you're going to have to pay for the damage that you caused. Depends whether it's something which is ruggle to be done or not. When you're driving the car in mazik, it's hard to be mechayev because you bought it to drive, and therefore for the seller to say that I didn't expect you to drive the car doesn't make any sense. So in mazik you're not chayev. Now it's really, if you look in the nesivos, it's really a kasha because every darbuch hatzeir, if that's the mazik, you have that problem. But it's not for now. No. So that there's no statute of limitations. Whenever you find the defect, you can claim mekach tois. There is a question, if you see the defect and you remain silent, there are many places that say, if you don't complain, quickly, then we assume you were Meichel. But if it's a defect that only emerges after 10 years, you know, the case that we gave last week is you bought a Shas, and you know, you're starting Daf Yomi in Brachas, and somewhere in the middle of Kodshim you find a couple of pages missing. So in that case, whenever you discover the defect, you're entitled to a refund. You didn't get what you were promised, and it's Mekar Tois. Oh, so that's a very good point. What happens if it's a defect that you could have checked? So this is, there's a tremendous machlokes. The Magen Mishnah, it's quoted by the Sna that we saw this morning, brings down from a Yesh Oimrim that if you could have checked and found the defect and you didn't, Yesh Oimrim, you lose your right to claim Mekar Tois. It's like a mechila. If you have the right to check, if you have the ability to check and you don't, you must have been moichel your rights, and there's no tire of Mekar Tois. Now this is not such a davar pashut. There are many chokim. The Aruch HaShulchan points out that, you know, what kind of halacha is this? You paid for there's a chazakah, there's an assumption that you paid for an item in good condition. The fact that you were a little bit lazy and didn't check, where do we see a mechila? Lamaisa, even the pesukim that follow it, there end up being about a dozen exceptions. The first is it applies only, you walk into a store, you buy something, and you don't bother checking. Mashiach, if the seller tells you, you buy a car and the seller says, yes, I checked it over, my mechanic looked at it, it's in perfect condition. So in that case where the seller lied to you, where you relied on his word, and that's why you didn't check it, everyone would agree, this svar doesn't apply, and if you find a defect, you'll be able to claim it later. Another exception is, let's say you took the car, you brought it to your mechanic. Your mechanic looked it over and said it's fine. And it turns out he made a mistake. He thought it was the oxygen sensor, and now we find out there's this problem with the catalytic converter. In that case, can you say that he was moichel? No. He did whatever he could to find the defect. Unfortunately, his mechanic was not competent, and he missed it, so he didn't know about it. So in that case, everyone agrees, even though conceptually you could have discovered it, everyone would agree in that case you do have the right to claim Mekar Tois. Now, the Rechayim adds that this whole svara, that if I don't check it means I'm moichel, is very nice when there's a minor defect. A couple hundred dollars here or there, so there are people that will be moichel such a thing. And therefore, if it doesn't check, we assume there's a mechila. On the other hand, if you don't check, and you discover 2 days later that the whole engine is shot, does it make sense to say the buyer is really ready to be moichel an engine? No, nobody does that. And therefore, if it's a very significant defect, if it's something that makes a huge difference, the value of the item, also, this rule will not apply. Other places can add, again, they're just, the list goes on and on. Basically, the point is that it's only when a person normally checks, it's a defect that a person would think to check. So then, by not doing it, perhaps there's mechila. But if there's any reason why, or any attack on this, if it's very difficult to check, it's not convenient, it's something that you wouldn't think of checking, you have any of these kinds of svaras, then this will not apply, and you will be able to claim Mekar Tois. Correct. Oinoa has Kadesh Shira L'Tagar. That is a chumra that Oinoa has that Mekar Tois does not. And Oinoa, the reason is, by Oinoa, you buy, you pay the price. So now that you have the price, if you care about whether this is the fair price or not, you just go to a tagger and ask him. A defect, to go ahead and to anticipate all the defects and to go ahead and search it high and low, is less of a taina.
This thing about shas, I have this mice,
you have a lot of stories.
and it's in the shul, and then the rabbi wanted to give a shul, and he said it's missing some pages. So, okay, now I know that.
So a month is probably is Lav Dafka shows Mechila, but you have a different problem. And that is, if you notice the defect and you use it, you continue using it, that everyone agrees is Mechila. Because since there was a defect, it's not yours anymore. If you continue using it, you're not a Goslin, so we say you must have been Moichel. So if you kept it in the shul and you allowed people to continue using it, even after you noticed the defect, you'd be very hard pressed to claim Mekar Tois.
But it's not the price of the original value.
That's Oinoa. Wait a second. That's a Shaila of Oinoa. In the Sugya of Oinoa, there's Kadesh Shira L'Tagra. That's a separate issue. But as far as Mum, when even by Oinoa, if you notice there's Oinoa and then you continue using it, so Al Pipashis, there's a Mechila. Again, there's a Galia Masechta, you know, there's
like 5 years and now a month. Is that like, and it's within the show for 5 years, you know?
That's true, but stop using it. Yeah. It's not yours. If it's not yours, then you have no right to continue using it. Whenever you discover a mum, it's true you have the right to bring it back, but you have to bring it back. And if you continue using it, you're showing that you're happy with the mecca, and you're going to lose your right. Now, another issue that came up with the car, which we'll touch on briefly, we'll discuss it more by Riches next week, is when a person sells a car. Very often you sell it especially when you're dealing with a dealer, you sell a car as is. Does that work in halacha? Now, what's the question? Clearly, if I'm buying or selling something, and I tell you, listen, I'm selling you the car, but you should know the engine doesn't work. So, if the buyer wants to buy it anyway, he negotiates a price, he's comfortable with it. So, it is what it is, and that's the deal. So, if a person has selling an item, he discloses the defect and says, this is what's wrong, and you want to take it, this is what you're getting. Everyone agrees that would work. The question is, what happens if I say, I'm selling you the car, I don't want you to come back to me with any claims of mum. Is that enough of a mechila or not?
Is he selling it cheaply because of that? Is he thinking of selling it much cheaper?
Let's assume he is not. He's not. But on the other hand, I told you, this is the deal. I'm selling it to you, I don't want you to come back to me. So if you hear the Mechaber Paskins, that kind of t'nai does not work. If you want someone to be mechila mum, you have to specify. The engine doesn't work. Or you can specify, I'm selling you this car, even if there's a $2,000 defect, that's it, it's yours, no backsies. On the other hand, if you just say a global waiver, there the buyer can always say, first of all, I didn't take you seriously. And even if I did believe there was something wrong with it, I didn't imagine it was the engine. I figured you'd tell me this in case there's something, the alternator blows in a week, I shouldn't come back to you. But since you didn't specify how serious the defect was, the Mechaber Paskins, that the Mechila will not work. You have to be very specific. You have to either disclose the specific mum, or you have to give a price range that up to this amount of money, you're going to be Mechila, you're not going to have a claim.
Why is it any different than after he owns it, where if he has the ability to check it and he doesn't check it, then he's Mechila, so he's giving him the ability to check it now.
Very good. The Nesivos learned that this halacha of checking is only, he actually learns that it's the cases where you could have checked and you used it afterwards because of this question. It is a stira. There is a stira between the two halachas, which both the Divrei Makil and the Marsham point out. What they say, and it's a bit of a doichik, is what they say is there's a difference between doing an action when you could have checked and you didn't check. That's a very clear demonstration that you really don't care. Just words, just the seller saying, I'm selling it to you, but I'm not going to take back any mum, it doesn't show the same gemara as das. But the question is better than the answer.
Let's say you reduce the price accordingly.
There are ma'ar mekoymis, there are cases where people buy things cheaply, and they buy it, and it's being sold at this price to price in the risk. And there are ma'ar mekoymis that will say this halacha does not apply. When you go to a car auction and they have the red light where there's absolutely nothing back and you know it's being sold at a bargain price because there probably is something defective, then you're paying a lower price, you're accepting that risk. But in a normal case where the price is either the fair price or close to it, there we would not say this so fast. Now this is a machlokes whether this is the Shittas Rambam and the Mechaber, there's a machlokes whether the Tzur agrees to it. I'll call upon him, the Radvaz speaks out, that in a case where the minhug is to sell as is, there the minhug would prevail. And therefore, if the minhug is, when people buy cars, they buy it as is, and that is upheld, then in that case, you would not be able to claim mekach tois. In the absence of a minhug, in most cases, the mechila will not work unless it's very specific. Din Malchus Adina would play a role over here only to be kaveh minhag. If this is the way sales take place, then it would happen. Now, even, the truth is, even I don't know. You can perhaps tell us when cars are sold as is. If there's something which if the next day the engine dies in a private deal, I'm not so sure that people don't always get it's as is that broad, especially when it's something which the buyer could not have checked for. So that's, I mean, that's a practical question. What is the minhag? But I wouldn't be so fast to say, just because the contract says as is, that there is absolutely no claim whatsoever. You'll have to look what really happens, what's the reality when the person buys the car and the next day drops dead. Does as is mean there's no recourse?
When you say reducing the price, I mean, is that just a...
The point is there are some markets where you buy things with risk. And therefore, to wake up afterwards and say, I didn't know this was wrong, is not going to fly. You bought it in this auction, in this section, where they say you're buying it as is. Everyone knows things are sold that had to have defects. Everyone knows the pricing is much lower than its value because of that risk or because of that defect. So there, you bought over here, there's a clear mechila. It's a question when you're dealing with a regular person, he's charging you, the fact that he knocks off a few dollars is not going to qualify for this halacha.
But could it reduce it significantly so it would qualify, or is it sometimes
you know, it's not a question of dollars and cents. It's a question of, is it enough to define that this is the kind of sale which is, everyone understands that I'm getting this discount to take this risk. It generally will not work in a private deal. It's generally only when this is how people buy things. All right, stop here.